Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, Heavenly Father, we Thy grace children have heeded that call of the Spirit to come here today, to be in a hearing of Thy holy and precious Word, and to be in the fellowship of Thy kingdom. Dear Heavenly Father, we today come before Thee as weak and poor travelers, those that need to hear that age-old promise that our sins are forgiven and that we are assured of that hope of eternal life. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that Thou would put Thy word into the mouth of Thy poor servant, that we might be comforted and refreshed, that we might receive that instruction and encouragement that we need to make this journey of faith towards that homeland shore. Dear Father, each of us have come here today from our individual, unique, perhaps, places of watching where we have experienced trials and tribulation, but also that joy of the hope of eternal life. So we ask, dear Father, that You would give us ears to hear and hearts to believe that word which is proclaimed here in Thy kingdom through the power of Thy Holy Spirit. Dear Father, we ask that You would continue to bless Thy kingdom, bless the work of the gospel, cause Thy word to be proclaimed here in Cocado and all the places where Thy children are found, and that it might go forth to seek and find those individuals who are in the shackles of sin and who long for Thy peace and are seeking for a gracious God. Dear Father, we also pray for those brothers and sisters in faith who cannot be with us today, perhaps for infirmity or for their daily calling, or even for those that serve our country. They cannot gather together, but they can hear through that media of modern times Thy holy and precious word. Encourage them too to continue in faith in their places of watching. Dear Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast given us a homeland, a country wherein we can freely gather together to worship Thee and to proclaim the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. We pray for our country. Our country, dear Father, has many tensions and is much divided. But we still pray that Thou would give unto us those leaders of government that would have that mind to serve not themselves, but to serve the people of our country. And so we pray. But most of all, dear Father, we thank Thee. We lift up our hearts in joy that Thou hast given us the hope of eternal life, that we today are personally believing our own sins forgiven. There is no greater calling. But we ask that Thou would continue through the care of Thy kingdom to care for each of us, and to bring us safely unto that destination of life eternal. Dear Father, we pray as thy Son has taught us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, today is Pentecost, one of the very great occasions in the life and work of Jesus. It is a special day that we remember, and for good reason. It speaks to us of the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure that most of us, if not all of us, have, as Sunday school students, recited time and time again that third article of the Creed, where we say that I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and life eternal, or life everlasting. It is a personal confession of faith when we say, I believe. So our texts that have been appointed for this day all speak of that office of the Holy Spirit. The Christian doctrine, I think, in a very clear way, states that the purpose or office of the Holy Spirit is to continue the work of Christ in His congregation. So it is by that light and power of the Spirit that we are here today in the services before God and in the presence of His dear Son, and we request of the Holy Spirit that He would open for us the Word that is before us, the Gospel text that is found in John 14, verses 15 through 21. So we read in Jesus' name and with prayerful hearts. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I shall love him, and will manifest myself to him. Amen. Before we begin our text, I would like to relate to each of you the joy that we have to be part of the Cokato congregation. It is like the psalm writer has expressed, that the swallow has a place and the bird has a nest wherein she can lay her young. Of course, for us, our children have been born in a different congregation, but we feel that it is good to be part of a congregation to call our home congregation, to experience the joys and the sorrows and the life as a child of God in the fellowship of His children and as a part of God's precious kingdom. Dear brothers and sisters, when we think about the Holy Spirit, we cannot possibly cover or discuss or to speak of all things that has to do with His office or His presence or His work in the kingdom. But again, we have that hope that that very same Spirit will open to us these words that we have read. These words were spoken on that night in which Jesus was betrayed. He had just a few hours to live. He gathered with the disciples there for that Passover meal. It started somewhere around 6 or 7 in the evening, and by 3 p.m. of the next day, Good Friday, he had already suffered many things and had died. So we might look at it from this point of view of a person here, our Lord and Savior, who had such a short time to live and wanted to relate to His disciples, those believers, something that was very pressing and something that was very important, something that would be needed for their life of faith and their continued journey as a child of God. We read, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." And of course, for us in the English language, when we think about the word commandment, we almost always think about the Ten Commandments and the work of Moses to give unto us the Ten Commandments. But when we think about the Lord Jesus, we think about those teachings or those sayings that He has given unto us, those words of life that we so much need for our journey of faith. And when I in particular read these words, I think of a time in my life when I experienced much doubt, and maybe you could say it was even despondent in faith and wondering of the grace of God. And I had this question that, do I love God? Do I love the Lord Jesus? Because it seemed as though my own heart was so dry and tempted that I could not see anything in myself that would assure me that I was believing truly and had that love for God and the love for the His dear Son. We know that there are, and I can say this too, that I have experienced those times in my life where I have had what we call grace feelings, where it seems like for days and for even months, it seems as though the heart is so buoyed up, so light, the footsteps are so quick and full of life that it seems that faith then is much easier. So I have experienced both, and I think you too have. But here Jesus ties His love to keeping His word or His teachings, or as we have read here, His commandments. That do we as individual children of God, do we receive the word that is proclaimed into our hearts and accept that word as true, and even accept that it has come through the Holy Spirit from God Himself. For Scripture speaks in another place of the Holy Spirit, and it says that He shall not speak His own things, but that He shall speak those things that He has heard. And so we can say, what does that mean? And we can picture this, that the Father speaks through His Spirit, and the Spirit then gives unto us that which is of God, the Heavenly Father. So we need not doubt the source of that word, or that it is good for us or necessary. But if God has so chosen to use His Spirit to speak in the congregation, then that which He teaches us are needed by us, that we might be preserved in faith and reach that destination of life eternal. But of course, dear brothers and sisters, we also experience that we are on the journey. We are tempted. We have that opposing voice that speaks unto us, that comes from our carnal mind, comes from the enemy of the soul that tries to challenge that word which is proclaimed unto us and place it under doubt and cause our human ability to reason and our intellect to challenge that which is proclaimed. And we have experienced that in our lives, and we will experience that as we go forward. In a different part of this Gospel of John, John writes that the Holy Spirit has that duty to remind us of those things that Jesus has taught us. And I would like to recall what a brother in Finland had written of this, and I think that it is such a very simple, but yet such a very important way to think about this, that the Spirit reminds us of the things that Jesus has taught us. And he used that everyday comparison or analogy of that we forget. Some Bible even speaks in this way, that we are forgetful hearers. And he put it this way, that it's not because we are so poor that our memory is so poor that we need to be reminded of what Jesus has taught, But it is because we are continually attacked or assaulted by different ways of thinking, different teachings, different doctrines, as we call them. We face them in our workplace, and if we go to the internet to look something up, they are on all forms of the multimedia that we have, which is on the one hand good, but also we have our place of watching. But we are faced with these contrary ways of thinking that are much different than what the Word of God teaches. And so the Spirit has that duty as we make our journey through life to remind us of the teachings of the Scriptures and that of the Lord Jesus in particular. So we love Jesus if we live by His Word. And if you are, dear brother and sister, ever doubtful and experience those very deep and severe misgivings or fears, that do you love God or His dear Son? Here He gives unto us that measure, that we live by His Word. Then even if we don't see in our corrupt heart any reason for the hope of salvation that we have, then we can, by faith, believe this Word. Jesus continued, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, and that He may abide with you forever." And likewise, in the same text, He uses a very similar phrase, "But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." That is the work of the Holy Spirit, to be our home teacher. We are taught that, and we have experienced that in our lives in different ways. The Spirit warns us when the boundary, we could say, is becoming too close, or somehow teaches us that don't go there, that there's going to be difficulties there. We recognize His voice as a voice that warns us. And we recognize Him as very much so as the Word of comfort, the Word that we want to always hear as the children of God. We want to be comforted, because when we leave from the services or are not able to be with the children of God for a while, we experience those doubts and fears and all manner of carnality that wants to overcome us. And so when we come to the services, or even to be in the fellowship of other believers, we yearn for that comfort that comes in God's kingdom, the comfort of the core message of the gospel, that we can believe our sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, that we are heaven acceptable. Isn't that really what buoys us up when we have that thought, that belief in our heart, that as wretched as I am, as faulty as I am, that nevertheless, by the grace work of the Lord Jesus Christ, by that which He has done in my behalf to pay for my sins, that I have yet permission to believe and continue as a child of God. So that we call the core message of the gospel. The gospel also contains teachings and advice and admonitions
all that are part of the gospel, but that it is that very part that we assure each other with when a husband and wife and children and parents, when we feel that we have fallen short and we feel tempted or perhaps named sin has attached. It is that we seek for, that reassurance of a child, another child of God, that our sins, even those named sins, were bought and paid for, and we can continue to believe them forgiven. Jesus here also speaks and refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. So when we speak of the Holy Spirit, and of course there are different faiths that speak of the Holy Spirit, but they cannot comprehend that office or duty that he has. But he is the Spirit of truth. Paul has written of the kingdom of God and described in the first book of Timothy that the kingdom of God is the ground and the pillar of truth. And the ground in our time would mean foundation. The foundation and the pillar are those supporting structures or columns that hold up the building. That is the kingdom of God, the ground and the pillar of truth. So we, when we journey in the journey of faith, we can trust that word, that advice, and that care even that we receive that comes from the Spirit of God is true and for our benefit. He continues, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. In some of the margins of the Bible, if we look up this word comfortless in the way that he has used it here, it speaks of, uses also the term orphans, as if we will not be left orphans or motherless. But we will have, we can say in that, we can understand that it speaks of the fellowship of God's kingdom, that we have here the kingdom of God, the mother of us all, which has come down to be with us, that we can receive comfort and care and instruction. And here the Lord Jesus is found as he says, I will come to you. So it creates, does it not, brothers and sisters, such a very beautiful picture for us of what it is like to be a child of God, to have our feet on this path that leads up to life eternal, to have that hope of heaven, to be here as part of God's kingdom and in the fellowship of his children, to have those people that not only care for us and love us in the temporal way, but to have that godly love for us, that spiritual love, that they care for our souls and will come and speak to us if we are going off this way that leads into life eternal. It's such a blessed thing to be a child of God, and it is God's gift. I know that I could speak much of those times of 40 years ago and how it seemed as though the kingdom of God maybe would vanish from this continent, and how I could so easily have gone a different way were it not for the care of the kingdom of God. But we, dear brothers and sisters, I can say this for myself, and I think you will agree that we can't be too thankful that God has given us His kingdom, and that we have a time of visitation where the Word is proclaimed to us through His Spirit. Yea, a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live, and ye shall live also. Jesus is speaking of that time that is immediately before Him. Within hours of speaking these words to the disciples, He would be captured and tortured and belittled and humiliated in many ways and suffer the death of the cross. And when He descended into hell and died and descended into hell, the people of the world no longer saw Him. When He arose again, He was visible and revealed only to His children. So that is what He is speaking of here, that the world would no more see Him, but His disciples would, and He would, as He would live eternally, so would they also. So, our dear brothers and sisters, our journey of faith is not just for today, but it is for that life eternal. If Jesus had not arisen from the dead, our faith would be in vain. But He did arise, and we have hope, and that hope is a living hope that is anchored on the Word of God. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He speaks of that unity of the Godhead, we could say, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and that we, through Him, are partakers of of that hope of eternal life, and we are one in Christ. And again, that is a very deep thing, dear brothers and sisters, to think that we are one with Him. But we know the testimony of the Scriptures is this, that He lives in us as though He were us, and we were Him. And it is beyond our mind to comprehend that, but it pictures for us that we don't live for ourselves, for the fulfilling of our own desires, but we live for Him, and the Father sees us through Him, and we are heaven acceptable for that reason, because He has paid our sin debt, and we have believed upon Him. Then, in the very last verse of the text that we have read, He brings us back as if to the beginning text, beginning verse. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So again, as we have said many times, we want to live according to God's Word, and that the Holy Spirit opens for us that Word and guides us as a home teacher. And here in the congregation, He speaks and teaches also. So all that is asked of us is that we would believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and that grace work that He has done for our behalf. And if anyone has fallen into sin or temptation, we are also reminded that we have that advocate, the Lord Jesus, who sits on the right hand of the Father. And we have such a precious weapon against the enemy of the soul that we can go to a brother, sister, or confessor, father and mother, and we can speak of those things that have happened and those obstacles that have come before us. Not that we are saved by confession, we are saved by faith. But I have found, and I'm sure you have, dear brothers and sisters, found that when sin has attached to us and made the journey slow, it has made that hope that we have a dimmer, and our eyes of faith have become a little less sharp, and we have found that the remedy for that is to go unto a brother or sister in faith and speak of the way and journey and be reassured with that gospel of the forgiveness of sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, be yourself assured that your sins are forgiven. In the midst of your doubts and fears, the trials that you have experienced in your life, be assured and uplift your heart to believe personally that your sins are forgiven. Today we have, too, that special remembrance of our Lord and Savior, where we recall more closely that work which He has done, just as we shall read, "This do in remembrance of me." His body and His blood were given that we would remember Him, remember what He has done. When we come to the Lord's table, we come in faith. And when we bow our knees, we do so in faith. And when we rise again and depart from the table, it is in faith. That is the purpose, so that the poor, the weak, the doubting would be strengthened in faith. But also this, dear brothers and sisters, have you thought of it this way, that it is a meal of unity, even as we at times in our homes we sit down for a meal many times a day. So this too is a meal where we together as a congregation, we bow our knees and confess that we are the children of God with that hope of eternal life that has been won for us. But dear brothers and sisters, I too always need that assurance of the gospel, and I ask that, will you bless me? I promise to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite our close our service in the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.